Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guest, Evelyn Burton, who is the principal at St. Patrick's School. How are you, Evelyn?
I'm great. Thank you for having me here.
Well, I really like highlighting and showcasing our Catholic schools, and so it's a pleasure to have you. I've had a few others in the past over these last 2 years. So let's get started. Can you share a little bit about yourself?
Sure. No, I'm very special with St. Patrick's Schools. St. Patrick was my parish family. We moved from Virginia when I was in second grade, and I was able to go to CCD at St. Patrick's School. And so we always went to the Halloween carnivals, and you know, I was down there every Sunday, you know, at that CCD. And so St. Patrick has always been in my heart. I said my husband brought me to Catholic school when I graduated from college. We wanted a beautiful experience, and a lady that I had babysat for when her children were younger and when I was in high school, let me know of an opening, a position that was opening at St. Patrick's School. And so I applied and worked as a first grade teacher and third grade teacher at St. Patrick's School. So those were my first two experiences in education, you know, and it was at St. Patrick's School, and it was a beautiful experience. It was everything that I could have ever asked for. And it,
with those cute little kids.
My goodness. But, you know, I taught first grade, and then I taught third grade the next year. But I was able to be a part of all the different grade levels, and the kids are just so happy. And
they want to learn.
Excited. And you can bring God into everything that you're doing. You know, if you're having a day that was difficult, we'd stop and say a prayer. And that's continued, you know, to up till today. But so I started my education at St. Patrick's School. I went to public school, had beautiful experiences in public school. But, you know, I had those beautiful experiences because I was rooted in my foundation at St. Patrick, and I knew what could happen. I ended up being Teacher of the Year, you know, in my campus, the different campuses. Mm-hmm. And essentially what happened is my husband put me through education. And then when I was teaching third grade, I had my daughter Michaela, who is now a sophomore at John Paul, and she went through St. Patrick's School. But he put me through school. So then when we had Michaela, I went to public school and worked there for a while, and he then went to school, watched Michaela, the baby, and then went to school
evening. You all traded off.
We traded off, so we were able to then have him graduate. Now, when he graduated from college, Michaela was 4, and so, of course, I knew where we were going to put her. We were going to put mm-hmm. her at St. Patrick's School, and then I had Madeline, and I stayed home with Madeline for 3 years until Madeline was old enough to then attend St. Patrick. So I was a teacher at St. Patrick. Then I was a parent. My Michaela went there from K-4. And then in second grade, a principal position opened up. And throughout the time that I was home with Madeline, I was doing education within the public school setting. So I've worked at several public schools. But a principal position came up. And although I was very happy doing what I was doing, I wanted to make sure, because once again I had taught there, and then now my little girl is going there. I wanted to make sure that there was someone that had the love for St. Patrick's School, someone that would love it and take care of it. And so, although I had no principal experience at the time, I applied.
You wanted a challenge,
had a 3-year-old and a 7-year-old. And anyways, as it would go, when I interviewed, it was a beautiful interview. And I just remember leaving the interview going, oh, my goodness, that went really well. Mm-hmm. And Monsignor Roger Smith, who's the pastor currently, he called me up and said, Evelyn, we just had a wonderful interview with you. However, we did choose someone else. And at the very end of my interview, because I wanted to make sure everybody knew, I said, you know, I'm very happy doing what I'm doing now. I was working in the public school system 3 days a week. I had my own classroom, and I was really teaching children how to learn to read and do math. It was a beautiful, beautiful setting that I was in. So when I left the interview, I left it like that with everybody. You know, I had felt that it went well, but I said, you know, my time will come, but I wanted to make sure that you had someone who had the right heart for St. Patrick's School apply.
And so you had already been a teacher and a parent.
I had already been a teacher. I was currently a parent. I was actually elected to the advisory council for the up-and-coming year. And so anyway, so he said, well, we've got another offer for you. What about assistant principal? So I've made history because St. Patrick did not have an assistant principal.
Okay.
So I was the first assistant principal, and I worked under Dr. Patricia Stiegel, who has just retired. And it was, you know, the best. We worked together for 8 years.
Wow.
And so I was the assistant principal and learned under her, her guidance, and with Mr. Gonzalez and, you know, Nanette Quintanilla Hatch and Ms. Lozano. And anyways, I was able to really have 8 years of really solid, great experience as an assistant principal and a mom. So my Michaela graduated. Mm-hmm. She went to K-4 all the way to sixth grade. And
so it
Madeline,
goes up to sixth grade.
Yes, ma'am. It goes up from K-3 to sixth grade. And although Michaela started in K-4 because we were staying home, Madeline then started in K-3.
Mm-hmm.
So I was offered the position. I went back to the principal I was working with in public school at the time. And I said, well, this is what they offered. And she said, jump on it. Take it. You know, what
great
an opportunity.
Experience. You great can be experience. With your children.
Exactly. And so I said, okay, you know, she said, I'll always be here if, you know, if it doesn't work out. Well, anyways, 8 years later, my daughter Michaela has graduated. She's in high school now at John Paul. And my Madeline is in sixth grade. And so last year when Dr. Stiegel was retiring, I was asked to do a vision meeting with the advisory council. And we all had the same vision, and it's a beautiful vision. And here I am. So now I'm the principal, and this is my first month and a half as principal. And Madeline is in sixth grade, so this will be her last year with us because we go from K-3 to sixth grade. And but I have nieces and nephews that are in the school also, and each one of those children are my family. You know, I was fortunate to know Michaela's group, you know, since they were four all the way to when they graduated. Last year's group that graduated, I've known them since they were three. And so they really are your family.
So you there's know? A great sense of community there.
Great sense of community and family, yes, ma'am.
Wonderful.
It's a very happy place to be.
So then you have been, again, a teacher. You're currently a parent there. You were an assistant principal, and now you're the principal at St. Patrick's School.
And that's what I tell everybody when they do the tours. I was a parent. I was a room parent. I was a teacher, a room parent, a parent, and assistant principal and principal. Yeah, so it's very unique to me and to my story with St. Patrick. But it's a you know, a testament to how beautiful St. Patrick is, because I couldn't see myself not being there this year.
Wonderful.
And moving on. And this year I have Mr. David Mason, who is my assistant principal, and a fabulous group of men and women who work with us. And so, you know, it's a beautiful place,
Well, I can see the excitement in you sharing about the school. Tell me how St. Patrick is unique. Obviously, it's a Catholic school. You spoke about prayer. That's how we're unique from public schools. I mean, in public schools, we're trying to fight to take out the under God and the Pledge of Allegiance, and there's just all those kinds of difficulties. But why is St. Patrick's unique? Or just talk about Catholic schools in general.
Okay. You know, Catholic school, once again, I'm very biased, and I tell everybody that, you know, as a professional and most importantly as a parent. But Catholic school, you know, has the opportunity to nurture the whole child, you know, specifically. You know, at St. Patrick's School, we go to church twice a week. We have, we have liturgies. We have opportunities for adoration. The little kids, the K-3 through third grade this year, are going to that Catechesis of the Good Shepherd program. It's an atrium program where they learn. It's a Montessori-based approach to our Catholic faith, and they're able to go and really experience what's going on at Mass through our atrium. We have volunteers, and it is staffed by volunteers, parent volunteers, and all volunteers have to take background checks and make sure that they are safe to be
around the kids.
Yes, ma'am. But we develop the whole child. Okay, we develop them, their intellect and spirituality, their social and physical development. You know, and at St. Patrick's School, we strive to help students experience Christian living, like I said, through liturgy, sacramental life, prayer, guidance, but most importantly, our example, and our example of our relationship with God and each other. But we foster a positive attitude toward lifelong education. We provide children with an atmosphere. This is Catholic schools. We all provide children with an atmosphere where they can grow and develop academically in a loving environment full of challenges. You know, we encourage the children and we provide them with enriching experiences. And at the Catholic school specifically, you know, we look at each child and we know that they are unique and they possess special individual gifts and talents. And we respect that and nurture that. We respect, you know, the differences and develop each student to their fullest potential. We want the children to be happy. We want them to love learning. And then when they leave us, like they did last year, the three-year-olds that I had known since they were little, or even if they came in fourth grade or fifth grade, but we want, you know, we have known them since they were little, so we nurture them, and we want them to leave us with having a strong academic background and enabling them to achieve any goal that they set out to achieve. But we have a dedicated faculty and staff. We have strong instructional programs. At St. Patrick's School specifically, we offer Spanish, guidance counseling, music, art, and Spanish. And so those are special teachers that come in and teach the children on their own, topics. Separate to the teachers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
The 51st annual Halloween Carnival at St. Patrick's School will be just as special as the 50 previous events. The date, Friday, October the 18th, from 5:30 till 10:30 p.m. at 3340 South Alameda. This year, young and old alike will thrill at the haunted house. Enjoy great food, the carnival games and rides, silent auction, hay rides, and live music. For more information, call 852-1211.
The following is a special invitation from Eddie Olivares, founding member, and Rick Sanchez, president of the Texas Jazz Festival Society, and Marcia Hardiman, minister of music at Holy Cross Catholic Church and director of the Jazz Mass Choir. They join with the Diocese of Corpus Christi in inviting you to the annual Jazz Mass, Sunday, October 20th at St. Pius X Catholic Church on Galahar near Airline. Father Paul Hesse will preside at the noon mass. Homemade baked goods will be available for sale immediately following the mass. For more information on this most unique jazz mass, please call 991-6541.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. Again, I'm here with my guest, Evelyn Burton, who is the principal at St. Patrick's School. And we've talked about the great things that are happening at your school. We talked about part of your history and how you, it's obvious, really love St. Patrick's School. Yes, I'd also like to know a little bit more about your faculty.
We have a wonderful faculty and staff. I talked about my family attending St. Patrick's School, but we have numerous faculty and staff members who, if they have children of K-3 through 6th grade, their children also go there. Once again, a great big family. But, you know, many of our teachers have been there for as long as I've been there, you know, 8 years. We have a teacher, Ms. Garcia, who's been there for about 30 years.
Wow.
Coach D last year, our PE coach, she retired after 35 years. And anyway, it's a place where you come and you want to stay. And you certainly, once again, you bring your family. We have teachers with their master's degrees. We have special teachers, as I said earlier, for art, music, Spanish, computer, and a guidance counselor. We have a PE coach with a PE coach's aide. And once again, everybody has to have the appropriate certifications to teach your children.
Mm-hmm.
We are accredited by the Texas Catholic Conference Education Department. So everybody at St. Patrick's School has the appropriate certifications, but we are fortunate to have many teachers with master's degrees.
That's wonderful, the fact that they have their education and experience behind them. But not only that, the community feel, and they're invested in the parish.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
yes,
they've been attending the parish personally, and now they've invested themselves professionally. Now, you did mention Coach D and having been there over 30 years,
yes,
is that
ma'am.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the school was established in 1950, and one of the things I want to highlight, because I think it's very important, is that this is a 3-time Blue Ribbon School of Excellence. So
yes,
congratulations
ma'am.
On that.
Yes, thank you very much. We're very proud of that. Every 10 years, we were, for the past 30 years, we received the National Blue Ribbon Award of Excellence. So we're very proud of that.
Well, not every school gets that. And I know that it's eye-catching for a parent. And when you see that, it just gives you that much more attraction to want to investigate the school and see what the school has to offer.
Yes. And one of the, and I've now been fortunate to be part of that twice. When I originally started teaching, I was part of the committee that helped write the application. And then when Dr. Siegel and I came in 2005, 2006, we were coming on the end of the application process and the acceptance. So we got to
experience
to celebrate that,
that
also.
Yeah.
Yes, and that was an attribute to, once again, those teachers that were there and are still there.
And the commitment of the students, too. It
yes,
was
ma'am.
Great to hear you talk about serving the whole child. So the focus is, yes, on academics, but it's also on their spirituality.
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, I didn't mention earlier, but when I was teaching third grade, and I was pregnant with my daughter, Michaela, every day during religion, we would pray for the children, the mommies who are pregnant with their babies, because there were 5 other children within my classroom whose parents were having babies. So I was pregnant, and then there were 5 other parents. And so we start the day with a prayer, we end the day with a prayer, we pray, you know, throughout the day. But we would, when we started our specific religion class, we would always talk about those mothers having their babies. Well, when Michaela graduated, all 5 of those children were there. All 5 of those siblings were there. And so you're talking a huge time span. So not only did I choose to bring Michaela back, but those parents having the third graders and then their siblings.
Their newborns, yes.
Every single one of them graduated 6th grade together. And it was really, really neat. And some of them came in K-4 and stayed, or K-3 and stayed. Some of them came, you know, 2nd or 3rd grade, just, you know, they knew what they were missing from St. Patrick. And so it is a very, very special place. And also I wanted to note that Monsignor Roger, our pastor, he went to school at St. Patrick's School.
Wow.
So he is an alumni.
What a commitment.
Isn't that neat? And so he's able to show the children when he had his first communion picture. It's really neat. The kids get to see that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, on the PE wall, we have pictures of all the faculty and staff doing something athletic. And he has a picture. And the kids have to guess who the people are. But his picture is in his little St. Patrick shirt. And so that was really
when
neat.
He was like, yay,
when he was,
young,
you know, probably
or...
2nd, 3rd grade. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Well, that's wonderful. So there's a lot of functions that you mentioned earlier that you have, art, dance, guitar, a lot of musical
yes,
functions,
ma'am.
Spanish,
yes, ma'am.
Which is really important.
Yes, ma'am.
What are some of the other functions that occur yearly?
Okay, we do so many things. And the school year really goes by fast. The fact that my kids are in high school or graduating is amazing. But we have our Halloween carnival in October. But really neat things that really get the kids involved spiritually and, once again, nurturing their whole person. We have a Christmas play. Or let me do this in order. The Lady of Guadalupe play.
Mm-hmm.
The children will act it out. They dance. They sing and dance. And they show the story of the Lady of Guadalupe. We have a Christmas play. The Christmas play, once again, is a musical. 4th graders do the Christmas play. The 5th graders do a passion play. The 6th graders do Lady of Guadalupe. But we have a Christmas play that the children will sing and dance to. And you have children who are quiet and shy. And they will...
This
just
is where they shine.
Themselves. Oh, they shine. It's beautiful. Not to mention we have choir. So we have choir for the children. So we have choir. We have the special plays, the Christmas play, the Lady Guadalupe play, and then the Passion play in the spring. And you can always look on our marquee because we have that up and it's open to the public. And the kids, but then the 5th grade kids portray the Passion play. And so the kids really know, oh, when I get into 3rd grade, I'm able to be an altar server. They're in the show choir, which we do the Share Your Christmas Food Drive, and the kids sing and dance while collecting cans. Then they know what they can do in 4th grade. They start to be able to lecture at Mass. They get to participate in the Christmas play, and not to mention all the other things that are going on throughout the year. In the 5th grade, they become a guardian angel. The 5th graders will sit with the 4-year-olds at Mass, and they're their guardian angels. And and they remember those children forever. My daughter, my Michaela, and who's a sophomore, she remembers her guardian angel who has graduated college now.
Well, that's
and
pretty so, smart, too.
Isn't that neat?
Exactly. Getting the older ones to keep an eye on the younger ones.
And that first day when the fifth graders sit with those four-year-olds, mm-hmm. they come out and they go, whoa, goodness, I'm so tired, you know. So now they're realizing why we are all, you know, what we, the teachers or their parents, have been doing at Mass. You know, okay, sit up straight.
And it shows them responsibility.
Yes, ma'am. And it is precious. And not only do they go to Mass with them once a week, but they will do different things throughout the year with them. They'll go help them check out library books, or they'll read to them, or just special events. But the little children have that older relationship. They have a relationship with an older child. The sixth graders take the three-year-olds. And my children personally could come to school later instead of having to come with me. Mm-hmm. But on Friday Masses, both of them wanted to get there early so that their little angel would not be worried that they were going to be late and not there to take them to Mass. So that was always very cute. But it's such a reciprocal relationship. It's just beautiful.
Well, that beautiful. That builds a sense of community also.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And everybody takes care of each other.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was thinking of. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, what are some of the other things that you would like to share about the school? I mean, is there maybe a student that whose story is so fond in your mind that you'd like to share here? You don't have to share any names, but just maybe one or two students, faculty members. What are some of those special stories of your experience at St. Patrick's?
Yeah, there are a lot of special stories. And one that comes to mind was last year. The kids love being at St. Patrick's School, but the sixth graders will generally you know, they're ready. They're ready for middle school. Now, everybody wants us to add a seventh and eighth grade, but we know what we do well, and we do three-year-olds to sixth grade
very
well. Middle school is a whole another element, and we have beautiful element, you know, our middle schools, which my children have attended. You know, there's Incarnate Word, and so Michaela attended Incarnate Word, and then there's Bishop Garriga, and mm-hmm. so we're very fortunate, and we know that they do a great job. So that's not something that OLPH has yes. a middle school attached to them, but we know that that's not something we do well. Well, this little boy, it was May, and just struggling a little bit, and when I was talking to him and when we, you know, how we handle problems, it's you know, what did we do? Why was it wrong? What will we do next time so that they leave with the choice that they made, you know, with the capabilities to make a better choice in the future?
Yes.
Anyway,
I like that.
So he was looking at me and he just wasn't answering me. We give him time to be with God, and he just looked really upset. And so I thought that what he was going to say to me was just that he's ready to get out of here, you know, that he's okay. just seen these people for a long time. And, you know, I'm sitting there, you know, trying to help him make better choices. But so he wasn't saying anything, but he looked up at me and he said, and I said, well, are you just ready to go? Is that why? Are you ready to just go and be a bigger kid? And, you know, and he looked up at me, great big kiddo. And he said, I just am so sad about leaving. And it was all he could do not to cry. Mm-hmm. And it was a beautiful moment for me because, you know, I've loved this child and known him since he was 3 and 4. And, you know, what I really was thinking is that he was going to tell me, yeah, I'm just ready to go because, you know, we've had fruitful interactions in the past when choices were made. And so this one, I just couldn't get through to him. And so I thought really he was thinking, I'm ready to go, Miss Burton.
Yeah.
But really he looked up and, you know, and he just, with as much courage he could muster, he said, I just am really going to miss you so much. I don't want to leave. I'm really scared. And I was touched and I thought, I've done my job. And all those teachers and the wonderful faculty and staff, what a great job we must have done. And it was neat. And I said, you're ready to go. And we're here. And they come back.
Well, may God continue to bless you in your ministry as principal.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Sacred Moments with Deacon Nolte is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org. Or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
For where your treasure lies, there also will be your heart. We live in a time where promises of riches abound, where it is possible to take a simple idea or desire and make it become a reality that pays tremendous dividends. How many people today wish that they had bought Apple stocks when it first went public? Worth billions today, Apple began in a garage as an idea between two friends. Similarly, the drone aircraft of today began as remote-controlled models in the hands of hobbyists. Driven by their passion, they went on to develop ever more powerful and economical models of those same toys. Today, the technologies of those hobbyists have been developed and led to the construction of drone aircraft, which are employed by our government. Those same drones drive multi-billion dollar business deals in the defense industry. Likewise, the California Gold Rush began in 1849, with the influx of some 300,000 people in 1 year. The gold was initially discovered in 1848, but it took several finds and some months for the word to get back east before the actual rush began. Within 6 years, the rush had slowed because surface and river gold had been all but depleted. The remaining gold required great mining efforts to retrieve it. Few among the 300,000 that went to California actually struck it rich. Those who gained the most wealth during the gold rush were the suppliers who provided the goods needed by the ones suffering from gold fever. In 1897, another gold rush began, this time to the Yukon Territory in Alaska, for what became known as the Klondike Gold Rush. In 1 year's time, 100,000 people headed to the Yukon. It's estimated that only 30,000 actually completed the trip due to the harsh environment they encountered. Most of the gold was to be found 10 or more feet beneath the frozen surface. Due to the permafrost, mining was restricted to the summer months when the surface became partially thawed and mining could be conducted. Of the 30,000 who arrived at the gold fields, very few ever struck it rich. Once again, it was the outfitters who benefited the most. Today, the same thing could be said of the lottery. States strike it rich when those dreaming of big payoffs spend thousands of dollars for the chance to win a jackpot against odds as high as 1 in 17 million. The best odds we have of striking it rich in this life lie in the words of Jesus. He tells us that whoever hears his word and believes in his Father who sent him has eternal life. He goes on to tell us that those who hear and believe will not come into judgment, but will pass from death into life. For many people, this sounds too good to be true. They would rather hear about tangible, earthly goods. Unfortunately, those goods and riches they seek will always fall short of giving them what all men and women truly seek, acceptance and love. The earthly wealth we seek to accumulate will always fall short in fulfilling the deep-seated longing for love and acceptance. Because of the finite nature of all things created, including wealth, these earthly riches will invariably fail to be of lasting value, and each successive failure will leave us with an even greater desire for that which transcends. For this reason alone, we should seek to invest in the riches that last, those that come about in our relationship with God. May your sacred moment lead your heart to the treasure of the Father's perfect love, and may your joy be complete in Him. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Evelyn Burton, principal at St. Patrick's School. If you would like more information, please call them at 361-852-1211 or visit stpatrickschoolcc.org. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.